Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank. Focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate.
Housing's still not cheap.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. A closely watched annual report on the housing market comes out today. We're not expecting that much that's new. The housing market's in a rut. We know that. But for many people, that's not making homes any more affordable. Steve Tripoli explains.
Despite a sales slump, 2.3 million additional U.S. households joined a category of those with high housing costs in 2006. Nicholas Retsinas of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard led the research.
It is a very significant bump. We're still seeing that disconnect between wages and housing prices.
Retsinas says stagnating wages, a growing number of house-hungry families, and regional supply constraints keep prices out of reach for many. He says the affordability challenge could have ripple effects.
It could also undermine economic competitiveness for a region.
That's because high housing costs drive workers to demand higher wages.
And particularly in a global economy, that can make certain businesses, certain sectors, uncompetitive.
Despite all this, the report predicts that growing immigration and high-end household wealth will keep spending on housing robust through the next 8 years, but only after the oversupply from the building boom clears up. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Friday's rally on Wall Street gave overseas markets a lift today. Japan's Nikkei added 0.3%. European shares are up a little more than that. The Dow starts out at 13,424. It gained 157 points Friday. Watch shares of Apple today. The Financial Times says Apple's in talks with Hollywood studios to launch a movie rental website. The National Hockey League has terrible TV ratings. More people watched a Food Network show about hamburgers than the first game of the Stanley Cup Finals. But the NHL might set a new trend in watching sports. It just signed a deal with Sling Media to provide fans with something called a Sling Box. Janet Babin reports from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
Sling Box is a device that transfers your favorite shows from your TV to your computer wherever you are in the world. The new video clip deal with the NHL will let users grab bits of a live game and post it to a website to share with others. Porter Bibb with MediaTek Capital Partners says the deal is perfect for the fading hockey league.
NHL is desperate. They had the Stanley Cup and nobody even noticed.
But Bibb expects other sports to migrate to Slingbox too. Who else but sports fans, he says, are so passionate about watching their team on TV no matter where they are.
And I'd be shocked if the NFL doesn't follow suit and the NBA. It's a wonderful brand builder.
But Major League Baseball is one league that's not interested. At one point, it threatened to sue Sling for copyright infringement. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Burger King is now offering spam. No, not annoying emails. The canned meat. BK is putting spam on its menu in Hawaii. Apparently, people in Hawaii love spam. McDonald's has featured it in that state for years.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management, Mellon.com. And by Duke University's Fuqua School of Business Executive MBA programs, where working professionals earn Duke MBAs from locations around the world. Online at DukeExecutiveMBA.com. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices. Calvert.com.
As people work longer and retire later, the generational gap between workers only grows. For example, baby boomers think one way, Gen Xers another, and the youngest workers, the new millennials, yet another. An old friend of mine, Cam Marston, just wrote a book about this. It's called Motivating the What's in It for Me Workforce. Cam, are you saying younger workers are selfish?
Well, they appear to be selfish from today's employers, particularly the baby boom generation who are in positions of leadership. What we see is a disappearing of the attitude of let me prove to you my value, mm-hmm. and more an attitude of what am I going to get from this job?
And how does that turn into conflict with employers?
Largely around a pay your dues attitude. Today's employers, most of them in leadership positions, had to go through some sort of pay your dues evolution. It's the apprentice to master evolution. But that pay your dues element has kind of gone away. And the younger employees are come in saying, this is what I want. This is what I need. Let's talk about my vacation schedule. And it's really catching a lot of today's senior employers off guard.
But are you saying that younger people don't have a work ethic?
No. The younger workers certainly do have a work ethic. It looks a little bit different, though. They define themselves by who they are outside of the workplace, not by their job. Their job is something that they do that keeps them busy between the weekends. It's mm-hmm. not the self-definition that the job is for many other generations. Now, that's a little bit of hyperbole there. That's kind of over the top.
Right.
But it's a big difference in generational attitudes towards the workplace.
Okay, so how can the baby boomer executives get more out of their younger workers?
Define the job by the quality of the project or the quality of the product, not by how long they're there, not measurable in hours per week. That's one of the things. It allows that Xer and millennial to free up a little bit and get the job done versus having to, quote unquote, play the game and be visible during the workday.
Well, I was reading in your book how one woman complained she had to compliment her employees just for doing the minimum work, or they wouldn't even give her that.
I think that's endemic of today's workplace. It's a generation. The Wall Street Journal had an article on it not long ago. The most praised generation goes to work, and it's a generation that is used to flattery, used to praise for doing just the minimal things. It's a reflection of parenting trends that we have experienced for the last 25 or 30 years. There are many employers that say they just have to simply thank their employees for coming to work. It's distasteful to me. That's the truth. It's distasteful to me. Nevertheless, it's simply a part of the workplace today. The employer's option are to not do it and risk turnover, risk bad attitude, risk malaise, or to do it and get the work ethic that they need.
All right, Cam, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.
Cam Marston is author of Motivating the What's in It for Me Workforce. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy your Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.